You're listening to Radigan's Rockcast, a series focused on talking about music from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and even current. Now, here's your host, Tom Radigan.
What is going on, guys? Welcome to Radigan's Rockcast. Of course, I am your host, Tom Radigan. Welcome if you're ever listening to this on either Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music, WNYO, wherever. I'm glad you're on. For this edition, I'm going to be talking about the 1970s group Steely Dan. And I'm also dedicating this edition to my father as well, for him getting me into this group too. Steely Dan, of course, is more well-known than Little Feat in a sense, a little bit more commercial. Steely Dan, you know, I knew about them, you know, when I was a kid, you know, like, their songs would be on the radio. But I learned a little bit more about them from my father recently, because my father, I didn't know my father was a fan of them, early on, but I never really, like, had the chance, or, like, well, really just never really, like, took the time to, like, listen to their music, I grew more into their music later on in life, which I'm glad I did. I got a little bit more interested in them when, Walter Becker, passed away a few years ago. I checked out their music a little bit. I mean, that's kind of how I realized I've been, you know, when, and sadly, of course, you know, you get into an artist's music when they die sometimes. That was the way for some artists, like, especially a little bit of Dave Bowie, Prince, George Michael. Steely Dan, what's not to say about them? I mean, whenever, if you know somebody who's into classic rock, they do, of course, they're gonna love Steely Dan. They are a definitely interesting type of group, and not your usual group in a sense. And, how I say this and why I say this in a sense is, you know, some people, I saw a video where somebody said that he doesn't even see Steely Dan as a band. And in some ways, you know, they're not, in a sense, or they are, but they're more of, like, it's two guys creating this type of, you know, masterpiece, or this type of, you know, what's the word? This, you know, they're laying down a structure of a sound for people to hear. It's no different than groups that you hear today, like Tame Impala, which really, it's only one guy, Kevin Becker, or Gorillaz, which is Damon Albarn and Jamie Hewitt, you know, who do that. So, you know, an interesting thing about that is, you know, for instance, you know, those groups, you know, they are so big, and they have, like, other artists that collaborate with them, or just, like, you know, they're still, you know, they're the biggest thing, but people forget, like, how they're not, like, your normal tradition of a band, and that's the same with Steely Dan. It's made up of two guys, which is Donald Fagen and Walter Becker. Walter Becker died, of course, in 2017. You know, Donald Fagen is still alive. You know, I think he still performs and all that. Back in 1972 was their first album, Can't Buy a Thrill, which we're gonna discuss in today's edition. But let's talk a little history of the group. They Donald Fagen and Walter Becker first met in Bard College in New York. They were also session musicians for the group Jay and the Americans, which had songs like Come a Little Bit Closer, and of course This Magic Moment. Apparently Jay Black compared Donald Fagen and Walter Becker to people like Charles Manson and Charles Starkweather. Convicted felons, by the way. Because of their very dry sense of humor, and that is kind of what makes up Steely Dan, especially, of course, their you know, use of jazz, rock, and all that stuff. You know, like, Latin beats, you know, you know, and all that. They were, you know, definitely, you know, creating kind of new barriers for music, in some ways, and, definitely, I think in some ways, it's music that, out of all these groups, they kind of relate to more of the new types of artists than the older ones, because, like I said, I don't really see them as a band, too, because it's really just two guys, and the lineups kept changing each time, and it was really controlled by these two guys. Let's talk a little bit about the other members that were in the group, which were Jeff Skunkback. His nickname was Skunk. Jeff Skunk Baxter was the guitar player. Denny Diaz on guitar, Jim Hodder on drums, and David Palmer, who was back in vocals, who did lead vocals on the songs "Dirty Work" and "Brooklyn." Let's get into the album a little bit and a little bit of like the songs and all that. So I would say that the essential tracks on this album are songs like, of course, the two big singles, "Do It Again," "Reeling in the Years." We'll talk about it in album order of like how it was, you know, each the order of the track orders and all that stuff. So let's talk about "Do It Again," which I remember hearing on the radio as a kid. Always finding it a very interesting song, and it definitely represents their sense of humor and their type of dry, you know, type of writing of like just of you know it wasn't like lovey-dovey songs. It was, and not in a sense of sophisticated, just you know, reality in the sense, but effed up reality, kind of like, you know, a different sense of humor, or maybe in some ways maybe could even be considered inside jokes, or not inside jokes, or just, you know, looking at the world in observing it in a different way. Like "Do It Again," kind of like, when you think of it, like, the speaker, like, talks about in, like, each verse, it kind of goes from, the first verse is about murder and violence, the second one's about infidelity and gambling, and the line in the chorus in the song is, "You go back, Jack, and do it again, wheel turning round and round." It's these recycled bad habits that you keep doing. And it's, you know, you keep doing them over and over again, even though you know you're not supposed to do them, or you know it's going to cause you a heartache or cause you trouble. It's something you can't resist. It's about the addiction and all that. It really is that. And the way a summary I found of it would be, mainly speaks about things that generally motivate men, which was money, violence, and women, but capturing how each of them are destructive in nature. This is from SongFacts. So it's like, the song just explains how generally humans find it difficult avoiding self-destructive behaviors. It's like, we keep repeating the lessons, you know, we keep repeating the thoughts, or just, like, keep doing the things that, you know we shouldn't do. And it's, you know, in a sense of, the lesson of the song is never learn from the behavior, you know, and all that stuff. Even in some ways, you do know better. It's an interesting song, and I like how Donald Fagen sings it, too. It sounds like it's two different people, the way it's recorded too, but it's Donald Fagen in that, and there is a performance which I wonder, like, you know, if some people like noticed how it sounds different, but David Palmer is the one that actually sings it live, and the reason why really David Palmer was added to the group was really because Donald Fagen, you know, it was considered that he was going to be the front man of the group and like the lead singer. But Donald Fagen got stage fright and all that stuff, and they hired him knowing that, like, having him, like, perform his parts live and all that stuff, or do most of the stuff live. But as time went on, and I think Donald Fagen got used to being live and all that, or just performing, they dismissed Palmer after this album. Also, too, it's in a sense of that, you know, Fagen and Becker had a specific style they were going for in their humor, and also too, I think it's like, you know, these guys dominated the whole album. We also have another person who sings, Jim Hodder sings one song, which is "Midnight Cruiser," but they really, you know, it was really just, you know, their, whatchamacallit, their vision was, you know, something that they needed to take full control of, and that was, I think, why Donald Fagen realized that he's better at singing these songs, to deliver the humor in that way, because, you know, like, David Palmer could not reveal the, or, like, you know, sing the humor in the way that Fagen and Becker, like, had the songs in mind when they wrote them. There's actually a quote where there was an interview, about 10 years back, where Fagan talks about, David Palmer, and of why, they kind of discharged him, which was really just of that they didn't get, that they didn't feel that, like, he was, that he got their vision. Where it was, after David Palmer did a few tracks, which he did quite well, it wasn't really representative of what the thing was all about. So that's pretty much what it was. And, while this is a great transition to talk about the song Dirty Work. This is by David Palmer, and I love Palmer's vocal on it. I think the way he sings it is great. At first I thought, his voice is a little too high for me at times, but once you listen to it for a while, you get used to it, and you realize it's really catchy. This is about love affair, and the guy who's with this woman, who's basically just like, it's like times are hard and your man's not around, so you find, so you find yourself somebody who can do the job for free, and it's a guy who really is not committed to anybody, but just, being with this woman for a good time, and he's, basically doing her dirty work, and all that stuff. And there's actually, if you don't see it, I'm wearing a Soprano shirt, and the Sopranos has a joke with this song where Tony is driving and he's singing the song in a monotone way in the car. And that's actually how I really first heard of the song, and then realized it was the second track on the first album, which was right after the big hit Do It Again. And what I love too on this song is like that the saxophone solo in the middle. It just adds like a whole different type of vibe to it. Very that New York City, being on a cold day in New York City, listening to that saxophone. Very, mellow, sadness. They do a good job at capturing the tone of these songs, and all that. Like I said, it's not like so much as in Lovey Dovey or sophisticated in the sense it's showing the world in a weird way, but that's actually accurate in a sense as well, which kind of goes into more of the third track on the songs on the album, which is Kins, which is, referring to 12th century kins, King Richard and King John of England and all that. And, the lyrics in that, Fagan sings that, of course, the lines in that is, we've seen the last of good King Richard, raise out your glass to good King John, roll down the bones and lay down the pitcher, and raise up your pitchers, raise up your glass, his name is John. And I think, a summary or what would work with this, in a sense, is, because in 1972, Nixon was still in power and, was causing anger for a lot of people for thinking he was, very corrupt and all that. I think, this song kind of refers to not just kings in general, but just, like, leaders in general that, can take power and we praise them and, glorify some of these people, but don't also, we don't know these people, and these people can be horrible people, and, when you have this type of power, you're not always a good person, you're not always gonna do things that are honest and all that stuff, and you're sometimes gonna do stuff that's, just self-interested to you, and you're able to get away with it because you have that type of position of power. I think it definitely has a message in that sense, which they definitely, have in most of their songs. This next song, of course, you all know it probably is their other big hit from this album, and one of their biggest hit songs too is Reeling in the Years. And this is about, a relationship of a betrayal from a girl who fell in love with another man. And, it's a very, and Donald Fagan does a good job at delivering this song, and letting the woman have it in this heart-pouring song, and basically calling her out and just being like, And with interesting lyrics too. You're everlasting summer, and you can see it fading fast. So you grab the piece of something that you think is gonna last, and it's just like great stuff too. Like, you know, like, you wouldn't know a diamond if you held it in your hand. The things you think are precious, I can't understand. You know, just very like, you know, very lyrics filled with anger of just betrayal, hurt. And then, you know, really going into it in the chorus of reeling in the years as, are you reeling in the years, soaking away the time? Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine? Yeah, no. And, you know, other stuff, lyrics too, that I think work well, is like, I like really in the last verse that go well too with it, and kind of is a little bit of a similarity to the first verse, the ending of that, where it goes like, I spent a lot of money and I spent a lot of time. The trip we made to Hollywood is edges upon my mind. After all the things we've done and seen you find another man, the things you think are useless, I can't understand. Which I think is just, you know, creative ways of describing, you know, hurt and betrayal and all that stuff. You know, when you're with something, it's like the thing you think is beautiful or the things you think are more important, I don't understand, like, who you are. It's like, you're no longer the person I thought you are. I can't understand why you can't, you know, because unfortunately in times in romance or just in life, you know, one person might change when the other might not, you know? And it has to do with that, you know, in a sense. Is this a very hard porn song? Is this a very good song that shows stuff about relationship or just the hardness of love and romance? Yes. I think what also works too is that the melody is not so uplifting or depressing at the same time. It's kind of in the middle, you know, and all that. The guitar work is great. That is by Elliot Randall, who wanted, who Fagan and Becker both, like, wanted and, you know, tried hard to get him into the band. They asked him twice, and he turned him down twice. They asked him, like, and he just, you know, he turned him down twice. But he did play tracks on it. This is great. And, it works pretty well. And, you know, the song is just, you know, like, the guitar solo and all that, too, just works, like, beautifully. And just the way it just soaks in, just like, oh, God, you know, yeah. It's just, like, it's so great, like, just hearing that type of music, like, you know, going in. And especially in the last chorus when he goes, are you reeling in years? And the guitar responds the way it does. Killer, just killer. Now we've got the other two songs I want to mention. A song that is right after Real Lonely Years is Fire in the Hole, which is another Donald Fagen song that he sings. And this is where we see a little bit more of his skills perform ballads. But it's not like your normal type of ballad, you know, it's got a very soulful ballad. The piano driven lines, you know, especially like when he's singing and the way the piano accompanies his vocals works pretty well. And that's what I gotta say about that. I think definitely an essential track on the album. And another song I really love is Brooklyn Owns the Charmer Over Me. You know, and that is another song by David Palmer. And I think this song, I think he does actually a better job on this than Dirty Work, actually. It's a shame they got rid of Palmer, because I think he actually had an interesting vocal style. And it's a shame that they didn't keep him on as, like, you know, a secondary, you know, another lead singer of the group. It works well, this song. The harmonies to the backing vocals are good. It's like really you just gotta listen to the record, you know. You just gotta listen to the whole thing too, because they, you know, all these songs are just great, you know, in a sense. So that's really what I gotta say with that. Another thing too that's interesting about this album is that you know, they did not expect, Fagan and Becker did not expect this album to be such a success, and all that stuff. And it was done on, it was put on ABC Records. You know, Becker even claimed, you know, that the band didn't believe it had any chance being bought by the label. And this is what Becker said. We had zero expectations. In fact, we were amazed ABC bought the album. It was like a dream come true. And the album did well on the charts too. On the, you know, it made the pop, it made 17 on the pop charts. So it does say, it does say something about that, that the album definitely made something on there. So, you know, it's definitely you know, you definitely can't deny that of the chart success. It was on the pop albums in 1973 chart at 17. And of course, Do It Again was a big hit. Reelin' in Years, Do It Again charted at 6. And Reelin' in Years charted at 11. So very, you know, big hit songs. A very well, you know, because it's not always common that a musical group's debut album is a major hit. You know, in some ways, you know, I mean, the Beatles, I would say, you know, their first album was good, of course, and yeah, I think in some ways considered a hit. But albums like from like people like Billy Joel, Elton John, their first albums were nowhere near a hit. You know, sometimes it's a hit or miss, you know, and for this time, it was a hit, you know, no pun intended. That's it for this edition of Radigan's Rockcast. I appreciate you for listening, and I've also have another, you know, for a plug-in for Digital Music Association. If you are at SUNY Oswego and you are free on Tuesdays at 5 o'clock, come down to our programs, and all that. And so thank you very much. All right, see you guys next time. Bye.